Okay.
What type of collaborators were you looking for with this production?
So obviously it started with looking at how to work with Jason. I was very interested in the fact I like how the vocabularies plot and approaches cross boundaries and disciplines. Yeah. So for me, Jason's very interesting because he writes and he writes in for different types of audiences and platforms. And he is a visual artist who you cannot pin down. 1 minute he's photographing, the next minute he's painting us. Stitching something together or whatever. So for me, that's very interesting because I guess I liked the fact that he didn't seem to have boundaries, and I also know him as a person. I mean, I originally met him in theatre, just watching performances back in The Necessary Stage. So for me, he's a person who, even though he hadn't made theatre, had watched a lot of theatre and even critiqued it. Yeah, so that was interesting to me, and he's open. Yeah. And of course, I mean, if you look at Dirk and Sam and the performers, again, needs to be people who are just very different to each other. I like the discomfort and the challenge, and I like the fact that I'm going to learn something or be challenged in some way by working with someone who's very different to me. It's very rare that I pick someone who's similar to me in any way, actually, when I collaborate.
What kind of preparatory training was necessary for artists involved in this event?
Medication was probably more important than training. No, sorry, Steve. I would say, I mean, if you look at the four different actors, actually, funnily enough, just thinking about this now, three of them were trained in the LaSalle acting program. So that is the ultimate program for collaborating with me. No, to be, it's funny though, it's true. But they trained at LaSalle at very different times. But then Laura, of course, is from another realm. But I think all four of them, I tend to choose actors for their personal qualities, not their acting qualities, because I just like, to me, they're more of a performer than an actor. And I know that at plenty of points in the play, they are being themselves. So are they interesting when they are themselves? Are they authentic? Are they engaging? Are they a little quirky? Yeah. So a lot of my writing in the piece, most of it actually, is very much a stream of conscious kind of reflective writing. So the actors actually had to use a lot of their own imagination and experimentation to shape it in performance.
Well, one of the interesting non-choices that we made in the writing with regards to the cast was initially when both of us wrote our scenes, we wrote them without specifying who said what. So we didn't actually even mark out the whether or not these were voices said by different people. We wrote them out in a way that is just one thing following another. So sometimes it's clear that maybe it's only two people speaking, but we didn't say whether those two people will be a guy or a girl, two guys or two girls. And it's only when we looked at the script that we then, knowing the cast, having worked with the cast a little in rehearsal, then began specifying which voices should take
Yeah, in that sense, in
which
many ways,
lines.
it was like a performance text rather than a piece of dramatic writing. Yeah. And like, if one that stands out to me is the way Walter performed his monologue. I let go of that piece of writing, which was actually perhaps one of the most personal pieces of writing and vulnerable to the point of absolute cheesiness. He took it, and arguably that was one of the most cynical and irreverent pieces in the play, where he had the caged lion putting the mic up to him and interviewing the audience. I mean, some people saw that scene as almost a ridicule of the whole piece itself, or the ridicule of even talking about God and sexuality and confessing. But I really let him take that and play with it, because, to me as a collaborator, he has to be a challenge to me as well, right? And he opened up the writing, which for me is very, very interesting. Yeah. So that they needed that ability to improvise, and we both needed that trust to let other people influence and shape what we created.
If given more time or an opportunity to revisit this work again, which part of the work will you consider changing and why?
Actually, we felt that the piece was a little too long, And we discussed actually at length about how to kind of connect it in terms of the writing, because we had me reading the parts of God, for example, and then we had audience reading as God. We had the actors kind of as themselves and actors as characters. And the kind of missing part, potentially for us, was me playing Doctor / God in the morgue. Do you want to talk a bit more about that? Do you remember?
How do you feel about that? Did you feel like...
I liked that. No, it was good. It made sense to me.
Okay.
Because that was potentially a connection between... I don't even know if it's three. How many different things there were... realities there were in the piece. There were a lot of different realities in the piece. Because we set up this whole premise that we'd written God in, right? At the beginning, we'd written God in the piece. He doesn't turn up. So I'm going to read. So, and for me, that's just playing around with this kind of self-consciousness of a director and self-indulgence and all that kind of stuff. And eventually we hand it over to the audience. The last text delivered by God is actually read by an audience, which of course has its own message. But then there's these disruptions between me as director and cast, right? Which at worst feel for me a bit gimmicky. So what we looked at, there needs to be a connection between that world of me as director and me as God, and this whole idea of doctor / God saving, controlling, helping people, and a bit of the God complex thing, I suppose, as artists. Do you want to say more about that?
Yeah, we sat down very soon after the closing of the play, actually with a kind of palpable excitement that this could really go somewhere. And part of us doing sitting down to do that was actually the idea that this could have a second life somewhere. And so we sat down and wrote down some notes of how we would develop this, and they are in front of me. So a couple of things were, you know, questions of delivery, you know, changing, giving certain things a little more sardonic energy, or something, making certain things a little more aggressive. Also, as Sean highlighted, you know, ways to sharpen certain characterizations so that it will hold his interventions into the play, though his sudden appearances as Sean, you know, into the play in a way that that might not quite feel so jarring to the audience, that might feel actually in some ways like the repeated consistent acts of one person, you know, or one character, or one voice. We also thought about new scenes that we might write, both scenes in the morgue and scenes outside of it.
Yeah. I think a big question for the piece also is if it were to travel, and this is not just for vanity's sake, I think for us it was a artistic interest. Because, you know, once you want to travel a piece, it's like, okay, can this language travel? Can it translate? Can it cross cultures? For me, straight away, at the end of that piece, I thought, oh gosh, this piece could not just travel. It's so Singaporean specific for me, you know? So one of the big questions, which I don't really have answers to yet, and would probably only come if we set out to do it, what would change if we were to bring it to different platforms?
We also talked about parts of the play having a different kind of life. You know, we wondered about the play being shown in a gallery or a museum, where the frame is no longer theatrical performance, but installation, for example, yet nonetheless with a performance element embedded in it. So these two things.
Your vibrator. underused.
Do you want me to repeat that?
I think it's okay.
Okay.
Does that sculpture have batteries?
No need. Yeah.
Okay, can continue.
Should we carry off what you wanted to say?
You want
just
to
a wrap up of what you wanted to say, and then we move on to the next question.
Yeah, that's right. So, in some ways, I was.
Look at this nick out of here.
So, we thought about, there was some, the parts of, we thought about staging the set in some ways as an installation. And I would, given notice, redo the costumes in an instant. But the structure of the installation of the set itself, you know, the kind of large, massive 2.5-story scaffolding, you know, with uncomfortable plinths in front of it, and a series of lighting projections coming off that installation, lighting effects, was something that I felt could work. Again, as a visual, as an object, and that performance could work well against it in a gallery. So we spoke about ways where parts of the play could work against that installation in a gallery, or even large, you know, thorough sections of it.
Any other comments for this project?
I think.
You want to talk about the props?
Props?
Costumes.
Oh. I think the only thing to say about this piece is one of my questions as a theater maker is how do you know how many things you can experiment with at one time? Because
countless. Just go through them all.
You know, I've since
you start with small sculptures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because for me, one really big thing which I started to play more within this piece, which I still want to do a lot more with, but I don't know if this is the best piece to do it with, right, is the actor's relationship with the audience, and you know the audience as a significant character in the piece, yeah, audience as a vital participant in the process, as part of the journey, as part of the transformation. I have a real obsession about interaction with the audience, but I really resent what I think is often very tokenistic interaction, where actually it doesn't really matter whether the audience responds or not, because the show's going to keep going. It's just a facade. For me, you know, someone had to come up and read God's part at the end. This is God. This is the end of the play. And I love that risk. And to me, I want to explore that more, because the way I kind of respond to things like film and media and everything, my conclusion is that theater must be physical, an intimate physical experience where artists connect and collaborate with audiences, and there's kind of a, and I like exploring, you know, a balance of power and intimacy and communication and transformation between different people who are strangers meeting in one place. So to me, I'm very interested in a lot of those things, and religion and sexuality are a wonderful subject matter for that kind of experience. But I think that kind of experiment, along with a lot of the other things we're experimenting with, is a lot to ask of a piece of work. So I'm still not sure. Yeah, I think it might be, and maybe that kind of piece of work that I'm, maybe that conversation, that artistic conversation, can't even happen right now in Singapore unless it's some unofficial underground performance that's not.
No, it's just the experiment of a lifetime, lah. You will need a whole life to.
Could be, yeah.
Or you need a life to work on.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Thank you.
I would say that one of the things I got out of it that I find incredibly enjoyable actually is watching and understanding where people take pleasure from performance and where people take offense. And offense not necessarily because some taboo subject was touched upon. Sometimes it could just mean a directness of delivery or on the other side of that is a flatness of delivery and an intentional way of trying to give the audience as little as possible. Yeah. So I could see myself exploring that further. Yeah, I could see myself wondering, okay, how difficult can it be before the audience like gives up and say, I can't struggle with this anymore. You know, the payoff is not sufficient. Or how directly can you speak to someone where they don't actually feel confronted, but they felt like you've met them at an intimate place or a place of some invisible vulnerability, you know, that you hit them at that sweet spot where they felt like they've met you in a place where it's just you and them, you know, the rest of the audience somehow doesn't exist in the room, just you and them.
Can I say one more thing? My strongest memory in terms of audience receivership and interaction was, I don't know if you remember this, there was a night where in my opening address with the audience, when I ask a few things, are you here for political activism? Are you here for an orgy? This lady in the back seat, dressed very sexually, you know, very sensual, and like she's going out clubbing, looking for men, or women, sorry. She said, yeah, I'm here for an orgy, right? And she said it very loudly. She was very demonstrative and noticeable. She also was the first to jump up and be God at the end, and she played God at the end, and the way she draped herself on that platform dressed as she was, to me that just tied together the whole piece so perfectly. It was just this great connection between spirituality and sensuality and sexuality, which was really nice. And yeah, that meant a lot to me, because to me that was an example of an audience really connecting with the piece and shaping it somehow, and that makes the piece very different to another night where another person gets up and, you know, yeah.